Hello and welcome to The Couch, where every week we sit down and talk about TV shows. I'm Jason DeRosso, and sitting alongside me on the couch is Wenli Ma. Hello, Wenli.
Hello.
Have you been to a lot? Well, you have been to a lot of airports in your time.
Probably.
Yeah. Did you ever know that there was a thing, there's a person called an airport chaplain?
I did not. This was completely new news, which I guess is what news is, to me. Apparently, there are only two left in Australia, though.
Is that right? I mean, I knew that there were prayer rooms.
Yeah.
But the notion of an airport chaplain was, I suppose it was news to me as well. And that's where we're beginning this week, because there's a new show coming out on SBS called The Airport Chaplain. And I guess I'd describe it as a workplace soap opera, really, where the central focus is the relationship between
the airport chaplain and the new manager, who's young and also sent in to basically turn things around, make the airport profitable, which means cutting jobs.
That's right. And the airport chaplain, played by Hugo Weaving, is a late middle-aged white guy.
Been there for a long time.
However, he's a bit of a maverick. He does not follow protocol.
No. Oh, my God. He runs through security machines that gives anyone in a post-9/11 world a mini heart attack.
That's right. He leads with his heart, though, doesn't he?
Because
he's really very much an empath, which runs counter to the backstory we get a glimpse of, where he's estranged from his daughter, adult daughter, who's just had a child.
Yeah. And there is also a flashback, a very quick one that comes in during a very tense moment that is happening to other characters that sort of suggests that there is very much a dark side to him.
Yeah. Now, we should say that there is a double-barreled star power attraction to this show, because alongside Hugo Weaving is very much an upcoming, top-shelf Australian A-lister. I'm talking about Shabana Aziz, and she plays this young, ambitious airport manager who is very much there to do a job, to, you know, get costs down and to make sure everyone does follow protocol.
Yeah, and you know what? I respect that in a place like the airport, that is probably where I would like to see protocol followed.
That's true.
We've probably all gotten a little lax in the last 25 years. But and I think she's such an interesting casting choice, because she's in reality 29 years old, but Shabana Aziz is best known for playing a student doctor on The Pitch, the American medical series. But on that show, she's 20 years old and she looks about 20. So there's a different dynamic that's been introduced that, you know, feasibly there are 29-year-old managers in charge of huge operations, but she doesn't look 29. So that, I feel like, introduces something different to their conflict of this generational gap.
Well, if anyone wants to hear from Shabana Aziz herself, by the way, I'll just insert this little plug to our sister show, The Screen Show. I interviewed her last week. But I agree with you about the casting. It's quite interesting. Let's talk about that after we hear from this clip.
Boundaries are like rules. Sometimes it helps other people if we break them. I'm Tobias, airport chaplain.
How would you describe your role here?
There you go, my friend. Get yourself a feed. The job is emotional, spiritual, and practical support.
You must have a few stories.
So you're more of a social worker with a fleur of vest?
Tobias Wallace.
You're a hard man to catch. What happened yesterday was a serious security breach. That could have caused an international incident.
It didn't.
The devil is in the detail, is it not, Tobias?
Well, there is some contention over where exactly the devil resides.
Why does everybody here seem to think that Tobias can just do whatever he wants?
I'm sure there's a beating heart in there somewhere.
Are you out of your mind?
You get to decide whether you keep hiding or whether you open up to what's outside.
In a way, this show, The Airport Chaplain, reminded me a bit of The Pit in terms of what it's trying to do is reflect a very diverse society. It's trying to reflect Australian society as a kind of layer cake of class and different ethnicities, and where better to do it than somewhere like an airport, where you've got, in terms of class, you've got the working class, you know, doing the baggage handling, you've got the corporate kind of head honchos. And ethnically, of course, you've just got everyone moving through the airport.
Yeah, it's a really interesting space. Like the airport to me is somewhere that is, you know, as a passenger, something that you just transition through. It's a liminal space before you get on holidays or a work trip. And so I always have to remind myself that for a lot of people, this is their day-to-day. This is where they work. And yeah, there are just so many different things going on. I mean, I never watched those like UK reality shows like Come Fly With Me and all that stuff.
I was addicted to those.
So this, or the way that, you know, the microcosm of the airport, the way that it's depicted in The Airport Chaplain did make me think about it in a way that I think I've been pretty like negligible on. I never really thought about it that much.
I mean, but you know, like the pit, which is set in a hospital, and same, you've got the higher ups, the lower downs, different ethnic groups all working sort of together.
Massive ensemble and all these sort of workplace conflicts that are born out of very familiar, I think, conflicts that we have seen in very many different workplaces, including our own, in terms of like cost cutting, in terms of trying to deliver what is essentially a public service, but on a corporate mandate.
Yeah. But also there's this, you can't judge a book by its cover theme that always recurs, and whether that's a kind of ethnic stereotyping subplot that will happen, or whether that's, well, something else. But it seems to be a show that's wanting to bait and switch all the time and make us question our assumptions, I guess, which I guess makes sense for an SBS show. It's not particularly brilliantly written, if I could say that. It's kind of well-structured, but some of the dialogue, I don't believe, it feels a bit sort of boilerplate.
Rather than naturalistic.
Yeah,
I get that. I do think, because I think it was so, I was like, wow, why didn't I ever think about this? That there were moments in this that I was like, that's really clever. Even just to throw away line here or there, just as an example without spoiling things, there is a situation where they have a person who is kind of hold herself into the prayer room and
seems violent and seems non-verbal.
Non-verbal, but isn't. But, you know, they discovered that she holds a passport from a country that normally wouldn't draw any attention.
That's right, because she's a woman of colour. So we're thinking, and she's not talking, and we're thinking she's one thing. This is what I was saying earlier about the bait and switch sort of thing. There's the don't judge a book by its cover kind of. This idea recurs again and again. But let's just go back to the casting. They're great actors. Shabana Aziz, fantastic.
She's brilliant.
One of
love
our
her.
Upcoming stars. And she's good in this. She's good in doing what she's assigned to do. I wonder if it's a more boring idea on paper, but I wonder if this would have worked better if she was the chaplain and he was the crusty old white guy. And I only say that because he's a bit crusty now. You go, I don't think you're saying it. He's great.
I think they're trying to portray him that way as well, right?
Yeah, like, but if he was the guy in charge and she was the chaplain with all these diverse new ideas, I think it just would have worked better for the casting. I don't quite believe that he's this crazy maverick running through the airport halls and that she's this corporate. I mean, I kind of believe it, but I just wonder, there's something about it doesn't quite
I think they're trying to play up like an old guard, new guard thing. He's established. He's the guy that everyone loves. I mean, the show came out of an experience that I think one of the producers had where, you know, they left a bag behind in a car, an Uber, and all of a sudden this airport chaplain was there to help them retrieve it, and which is how they discovered that airport chaplains even exist. So I guess it was probably born out of their own personal experience to have that kind of character reflect the guy who actually works at Melbourne Airport.
Yeah, this is Elise McCready and Jude Troy are listed as the creators of this show. It comes from Wooden Horse, a production company that's made stuff the British stole, the reboot of Mother and Son. So they have this kind of background of doing Stateless as well. So they have this background of kind of doing shows that engage with things like, well, race and class to a lesser extent. And I think it's an interesting show.
We haven't seen all of it.
I think we were given, four episodes?
I don't know if it's six or eight in total. So it will be interesting to see where it lands because it is hinting at a lot of stuff. It's telegraphing stuff that's coming down the line.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, there's industrial action that's looming on the horizon, all sorts of things. I mean, it's biting off a lot.
Domestic violence.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, it is there for people to watch. It launches August 26. Yeah, from August 26, it's on SBS On Demand, and it will be syndicated around the world via Netflix in all other territories. It's called The Airport Chaplain, which is interesting, going around the world on Netflix. Let's go now to something that's streaming over at Prime Video. It's called Sterling Point, a mystery romance about a young woman who travels to a beautiful island in Canada. She's from New York. Her grandfather, who she didn't know that well, leaves this island to her and her brother in his will. And when she travels there, she unravels the story of the mother she never knew and meets the sister she never knew she had.
Gordon has left Connor and Annie property in Canada.
Canada? Was he Canadian? Does that mean that mom was Canadian too?
Nobody here is Canadian.
None of this makes any sense.
Annie?
Yeah, hi.
Ellis.
Hey, pilot. Welcome to Sterling Point.
How long have I got?
Hey, you beautiful.
Hi, I'm Una.
I'm Annie, nice to meet you. My mom died when I was little. She used to spend some time here, so I'm just checking it out.
You guys want to go to a party in Rosso tonight?
No, you don't want to. Because the crowd, please. And I'm tired.
Hello?
Jesus! Who are you?
Who are you? And what are you doing in my grandfather's cottage?
Connor, I'm freaking out. There's a girl here who looks just like mom. She said that it's her grandfather's cottage, too, who apparently owned the entire island.
Wait, we own an island?
Connor, focus. I would love for you to explain why you broke into my cottage and stole a photo of my dead mother. This is my mother, too.
this is so watchable for about, I don't know, the first three, four eps.
I was so skeptical because this is on Prime Video and they have made such a thing about really leaning into both dad action dramas and also YA, so young adult.
This is like the YA White Lotus.
Yeah. And so I thought, oh no, another one of these. And you can tell from like the soundtrack and all that stuff that it's very much playing up in these genre tropes that are now very, very familiar. But what I found interesting that brought me around was that this is a series created by Megan Park. And she is a Canadian filmmaker who is, I think, just turned 40. And she made the movie My Old Ass.
That was so funny. About a mushroom trip that ends up where a younger self encounters an older self.
Yeah, and it was, I loved that movie. And it was actually set and filmed in the same part of the world, which is Muskoka.
Oh, of course it was.
Yeah, Muskoka, which is, couple of hours north of Toronto, and it's just like a lake district. It's gorgeous. And so you've got this beautiful backdrop. And I actually think the writing on this is pretty good.
It's good. And the acting's great. All these kids, I mean, they're sort of, I don't know how old they are, Ella Rubin as Annie Jacobson, but all the others as well. The dialogue's great. They have great chemistry between them and sort of frenemy chemistry as well as just chemistry. There's a bit of romance. I do wonder if it sort of plateaus out a bit by the mid point, but I haven't gone beyond that.
I binged this probably over a couple of nights, and it held me the whole time. I know that sounds like such a wanky thing to say. It held me, but it held my attention more than anything else. And I think what I like about this is that, yes, there's like, you know, the mystery of the dead mother and the secret sister, and there's a kind of a love triangle. So it's got all these really familiar soap opera things, but ultimately this was a character-led show. There's plot momentum, there's all of that stuff, but none of that works if you don't like hanging out with these characters.
Absolutely.
I did.
I like the way it handled mental illness as well. Themes of anxiety, for example. I mean, you know, the girl from New York is very much a control freak, and this is her learning that she can't control the world, really, and learning to cope with that.
Yeah, and she's been brought up, she and her twin brother have been brought up in this, like, very cloistered, incredibly privileged environment with their dad, who is played by one of the Duplass brothers, Jay Duplass. And it is just very much stepping out beyond the world that she knew, because she thought, she's like very type A, as you say, and she had this very specific vision of her future that, you know, starts to unravel at the start of the series, which is what led her to do this thing.
And that vision of the past, you know, also starts to unravel because they realize, oh my goodness, we aren't who we thought we were. Okay, we've got to wrap it up, but that was Sterling Point. It's 8 episodes streaming over at Prime Video. And we should say, kind of mild, right?
It's very wholesome. There's like an aftermath of a sex scene. So I think for younger teenagers, this will be great. And definitely for mother daughters, because they really lean into it towards the end.
Okay. Yes, Sterling Point over at Prime Video. That is it for us for another episode of The Couch. Thanks for being with us. Hope you can join us next time. I'm Jason DeRosso.
I'm Wenli Ma.
See ya.
Bye.